Like this, but we'll all be there forever giving our Lord praise. Amen. Could we just sing heaven something sweet all the time? Always on my mind. Our hearts are longing. Amen.
God, we stand in your presence this afternoon, Father. Conscious, Lord, that with our physical eyes could look around and we could see fellow human beings like ourselves. That because of the person that is lying in this coffin here this afternoon, we believe there's an unseen host also looking on, Lord Jesus. I don't know, Lord, maybe you have our precious brother looking down too, Lord God. But Heavenly Father, times like these, we sometimes think, Lord, of the person that has gone on. We think of those, his relatives who have remained, Father. We stretch forth our hands to take their hands and offer a word of condolence. It's the best we as human beings could do, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I stand here and I wonder, if Jesus was here, what would he have said? I know what we would have said to the bereaved family, but what would Jesus have said? Lord Jesus, I think it would be good, Lord God, if you could hear what you say, Lord Jesus. Because we know you are not dead, you are alive, Father. And you can speak just as you spoke before. And I pray, Holy Spirit, just rest and abide in this place this afternoon. I pray your presence just drop amongst us, Lord, as the people sit quietly, Father. And Lord, something can be said this afternoon that could bring hope, Lord Jesus. That could go just beyond the thoughts of man, but break into a realm, Lord God, where we can see something that will take the gloom away, Father. That will bring a life, Lord Jesus. That will bring joy, Father. For it says in your presence, there is fullness of joy. God, as you come this afternoon, I just pray of your name. This is the time we'll spend here, Father. We want to dedicate the rest of the evening here unto you. We want you to have the preeminence, Lord. May your Holy Spirit just speak to our hearts this afternoon. That every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that is within my voice, Lord Jesus, that is within this place, could feel your presence and know there's somebody there that maybe their physical eyes couldn't see. Won't you grant us that blessing this afternoon, Lord Jesus? Let's ask it in your name, Father. For your honor, for your glory. Amen. Just want to welcome everyone to this presence this afternoon. As we come just to spend us a few moments, pay our last respects to our precious brother Andrew that has gone on to share this moment with the bereaved family, brother and sister Harry Ramrika. You know, I stand here and I was thinking, those of you who were here last night, you have heard the minister that brought forth the word. How he took certain characters in the Bible. I can recollect right now how he took Moses. I took Moses being born a child, and how he was born at a time of persecution. Born through a woman, less like any one of us. Born in a family that was in slavery. Let me put this way, born in a poor family. And how he grew up and how he came and met the Lord and the change. And he went on into ministry and the deliverance of the people of Israel and all these things. Then he died. And then years later on, he was seen among Transfiguration talking with Jesus. I remember he took another character, Samuel, and spoke of how Samuel's mother, Hannah, wanted a baby so much. And she cried and she wept and she prayed until she got to the place where she just gets rid of the presence of God, and God heard her cry and granted a baby. A boy, just as any one of us would have a baby boy. And how she took that boy and dedicated him to the Lord, and he grew up in the temple, and how God called the boy and talked to the boy, and the boy grew up to be a prophet. And how he spent many years in Israel, and then he died. Then later on, he was seen again. You know, and we all like to look back at these things and we rejoice over it. But in my mind run Brother Andrew here this afternoon. And I was thinking, what about him? He was born of a woman, just like Moses was. Born of a woman like Samuel. His name, his life, may not be penned in black and white here in the Bible. But then he lived on this earth. And because he lived, then there is a testimony, there's something there on record that could be pertained to him and him alone. And nobody else here can lay claim on. That's how Samuel had his life. That's how Moses had his life. That's how Elijah and all the great prophets of old, Paul and Peter and James and John, all of them had their lives. And that their lives became their testimony. So likewise, I wondered about him. Born of a son, a brother and sister, Harry Ramrika, and many here, maybe relatives, neighbors, acquainted with the family. Had natural brothers, Malachi, Joseph, whom no doubt must have shared precious moments with. Born into the September 1971, when he died, on November the 13th, 1989, he was 18 years old. And many of us, when we think we remember him, in this little chair, standing against this post, we look, today it's empty. He lived so long, where in his condition where he couldn't walk, that maybe our memory could remember him in that condition. But he wasn't born that way. He was born a normal child, just like you and I. But in his course and life, which we know to be true, but we can look back, but the history is there. You can see at the age of 9, something happened. And that precious ability to walk was taken from him. Maybe your memory of him is in that condition. But as a boy, before he reached that state, he used to go to school like any one of us. But when that happened to him, he had to leave school, went to the Faizabad school, there, Presbyterian school, he had to leave. But then something happened, like everybody else, growing up, coming along, something happened. Somewhere along in his normal course of life, he came in contact with Jesus Christ. The records of his life shows it happened around the age of accountability. I mean somewhere around the age of over 12 years. A young boy. Note, couldn't walk from about 9. But something happened. Even though he was in this condition, that he was confined to a wheelchair. Yet somehow, Jesus Christ looked beyond that condition, saw a soul, saw a precious being there, and never turned his back and walked away. For the same salvation and mercy and grace and love was extended to a normal man, extended also. And with open arms, he accepted the Lord. Was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his testimony, coming from the lips of his parents, who ought to know him the best, that you're just a fine boy. You know, they say he was dying. He was just calling upon the name of the Lord. His father, he was praying, saying, Jesus, Jesus. He was showed right at that moment there, when he was not feeling too well, when he was asking for prayer, it showed what was having influence upon him right at that point in time. It showed where his thoughts was at. It showed at that point in time what meant to him the most in life. He looked in that direction for help. He called upon the one whom he had confidence in, I could help him. It is said, he mentioned, and you are seeing angels. You know, and God has a strange way of doing things. Before I continue, I just want to read a passage of scripture. Taken from the book of Isaiah. And it goes like this. Who hath believed our report? Isaiah 53. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him like a tender plant, like the root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Those Bible keep saying he is referring to somebody. The man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we did as it were hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for all transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We like all sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shepherd is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And with this person, he is dead. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. A just man, honest man. But he went through a lot of affliction and sorrow, he's to death. And the Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering of for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify men. Something is coming up here. This same one that went down, God has said of this one, by the knowledge of him, he shall justify many. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered the transgressions, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressions. Just one more scripture. The book of Romans. It says, chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according. What precious word we read. And you know, God has a way of doing things. Because our brother here took him with a pain last Wednesday, somewhere around there. Got a prayer request in the church, prayer was offered. You know, I see him coming many a times in service. Go back on, faithful and true. And then the minister asks, I come down on Thursday, find out how things are going. They himself know this place. I knew about Harry, but I didn't know where I was living. Was guided here, came, saw him in bed, and he looked so pleasant, so peaceful, so at rest. So comfortable. I walked in, and for the first time, you know, I ever really sit down to have a conversation with him. And I was amazed So I seen him in his chair. I always thought, well, might be able to carry on to good a conversation. But then he had all his senses, and he could have talked, and he could have expressed his desire, and talking about the Lord and faith and these things. And here he was, just amen in the word, and given the assurance that he's not going to give up. He knows that the Lord is aware of his condition, and one day he knows he'll be delivered.
Amen.
Father, right at bedside here. And I tell him, I say, look, whether you live or whether you die, you shall walk again. Because if you die, you're going to another body. You'll leave this one, and that body's not crippled.
Amen.
And if you live, you'll live with a hope in your heart that
Amen.
Jesus Christ is able to raise you back up.
Amen.
Because the scripture says, he was bruised, but he was chastised for our peace was upon him. He was bruised for iniquity, and by his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
So live or die, doesn't matter. And that young man just shook his head, and he said yes. He knew it was the truth.
Amen.
And the testimony is coming forth of how he'll build a family. I looked and I left the joy in my heart until I said, I'll see you in service Sunday. And he said, yes, sir. And then his brother testified, he said, if ever time come, when Sunday morning reach, I'll hear a knock on the partition, bam, 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 bam. And we wake up, time for service. Thursday, go on his father. He don't like his father go to work because he figure he's going to miss service. Come home later, take him up later or something. He want to be in the house a lot early. You know what? I stood up here and I bewildered. Then you know what? They took the pictures and they showed me. He said, look, when you were small, you were going to walk, when you were going to school. See me little blue shirt, little khaki pants going to Presbyterian school, standing up there. And you look here and you see a young man, you look there and you see there. And it was so nice, and all when they took him away and all the way he was and all the pictures and so forth. I mean, he did better than me. He went away. I didn't go any place yet. And after all of that, I left. Time's going on. Then when I came home, just yesterday, my wife met me in the news. She said he had passed away. And I'll be honest with you, I was surprised. Because of the condition I left him in, I was surprised. But then I stood back and I began to think, anyone who ministers talking last night, I began to think. I said, Lord, God Almighty knew that I'll be standing here today. I didn't know it. He knew it. And he worked things out that the very person who I'm going to talk about this afternoon, or maybe mention about his life, that I was acquainted or get a familiar with certain aspects of him before I talk. So I talk as a witness and not just off the top of my head or what somebody tell me.
Yeah.
I talk about what I see, what I testify of. And I say, Lord, your ways are past finding out. And I said, why? What makes him so happy? Why could he be so contented? What about when he feel the pain? He said, Daddy, take me back to the doctor. Bring the tablets the doctor gave me. He said, pray.
Yeah.
Like just conscious there's somebody else greater than the doctor.
Amen.
Because there's somebody else means something to him.
Amen.
And this Bible here talks about a person, Jesus Christ. No, don't think about it that well, because we all gonna face death one of these days ever before us. That God in himself wanted to be so identified with us. Wanted to be so, let us know he cares and show his tender love and mercy. That Almighty God who could never die, put on a robe of flesh to come down the earth to taste death for you and I. To taste sorrow, to taste grief. Afflicted, the Bible says. You know one of the amazing things that struck me? Especially the family. As that family come, and just they'll take that boy and pack it with all the sincere love you could ever see coming forth from here. He was no burden. Like, to take care of him was a joy. I watched, we spent some time in Tokyo and they came up there and they would wheel him around and get some of the sea breeze and put him and say, alright, you're comfortable, you don't want anything. And I said, but there are people in the world who will run from such responsibility. People would have time with him because he probably have to do everything for him. But yet, this family, like he was the center of attraction to make sure he was alright with him. I said, Lord, will I make a family do that? Somebody tell me. Because there's one. John said, God is love. Love is God. And if love abides in us, God abides in you, then God could understand. God could see the need. God could minister to make him happy in the condition that he's in. And not only make him put in a family to love him and care for him, but also be an example unto him and preach unto him the gospel of Jesus Christ and fellowship with him.
Yes,
that he can have hope not only naturally, but can have hope spiritually also.
Yes.
Which hope is not of their own, but they share one common understanding in the family. That there is a Jesus Christ, there is a Savior, there is a Lord. There is a man who knows what sorrow is. You know, when he sits there in the chair, he could know that God was afflicted as I am afflicted here. But the Bible says that everything we go through, Jesus Christ was tested in all points, like we are. Then he could be touched. Then in that wheelchair there, the revelation that Andrew could have of him is that Jesus Christ knows and understands. And not only that too, but even though I'm in this condition, because he cared so much and he could taste that, the Creator humbled himself under the creation, and the creation smite the Creator and did all things whatsoever it is, they stood up on a cross naked, with a crown of thorns upon his head. But what he did there, down the Bible says, he did it for me. He did it for you. He did it because there was something greater than just a natural affliction that is afflicting the entire world. That a man may be healthy and strong and may feel he's something. But then he could be crippled. He could be manipulated. He could be a slave. I don't yourself know it. That thing, if you was here last night, the scriptures read, our brother Apostle Paul saying, the sting of death is sin. Sin. Unbelief. That could take a man and have him bound in traditions and decrees, thinking he's free. Thinking that he's better off than somebody who's in a wheelchair. Thinking that he don't need no help from nobody because he's dead, he has all his senses. And yet somebody in a wheelchair could be better off than him. Because what is this life? Today we're here, tomorrow we're gone. And what do we take with us? Naked we come into the world. Naked we go out of it. Except one thing. The very being that you are. What you are, you'll always be. In other words, as I saw last night, those of you who were here, when the minister stood up, and he said Samuel was a prophet on earth. And when he died and he came back up, you're still a prophet.
Yeah.
In other words, there's something, friends, that goes with you.
Yeah.
That death cannot take away.
Yeah.
That death has no hold or power over it. Something that is of such substance that it, nothing can hold it back. It must manifest itself.
Amen.
That thing is eternal life.
Amen.
The gift of God. The thing that God imparts, that God gives, not even death could take it away. That even though you go down the grave, there's a hope that you'll rise again. I remember a man in the Bible, Job. A man that loved God all his heart, but something was troubling him. Job was, he had everything in life. His family, rich man, blessed of God, but something deep inside pondering him. He looking around, and he looking at nature, and he looking at the cedar tree, and he see it look so beautiful and nice, and the cornwood make its nest, and all the swing and it swing in the breeze, and like it's singing and rejoicing, hallelujah time. And then the seasons change, and the leaves begin to fall, and that cedar tree stands dry, not even a good bird want to rest in it. Guy like that, pass like a dead. Then he sees another season come again, and the rains begin to fall again, and the blessing begin to flow. Like that tree has a resurrection, he come back to life. He looked at himself, and he was once a baby, come a child, Come a young man. Come in the spring of his youth. Then begin to go down in age. And he wondered. Maybe he searched back. What about me? I see the hope of the tree. I see the hope of the sun when it rays in the morning, young and nice, tender and sweet. In this little country, they're walking the road early o'clock in the morning, that sunrise, and it's going to burn your skin. So tender. Then it comes hot like it becomes an old man, then goes on every time and dies young, yonder, and blackness comes out like the grave. Then it rises back up again. He said, I see the hope in the sun. I know about them, but what about me?
Amen.
The question that people would ask, what about me? Is there hope for me? You look back in the Bible, probably back in the days when, well, it was no Bible at that time, but to probably go back to the stories that handed down and look back and find out, is there a man ever rose? Is there a man ever went to the grave and raised back up? Where could I get a hope? It's happening in nature, but what about man? Is there hope for man? And he could find no answer. Then something struck him. The only person who have an answer of life had to be life itself. He said, oh, if I could find where God lives. I want to have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
I don't question his ability and his integrity and the abundance of revelation he has. And I know that he made me. As a matter of fact, my substance is responsible for it. My being here this afternoon, he's responsible for it. The very breath that I breathe is responsible for it. Because it is written that if he just pulls his hand off of me, Satan is willing to take me right now. Because after death, there's no more remission of sins. So how to be God keeping me? But I'm going down to a grave. I wonder if you could tell me what will happen to me there. You know, that's a question a lot of people ask. Where do I come from? Where do I go? Is there a hope for me? And I ponder and ponder and ponder him. And he asked and he asked and he asked. Until God heard him and God decided to answer. You know what God did? Just to dramatize a little bit for you. Maybe Job sit down there and in sorrow and ponder and wondering, looking for a hope from the final. And one day, they begin to feel an inspiration. Like you begin to feel something move. And something open up before his eyes. Maybe hear a cry of a little baby. In vision form, maybe he saw a little baby born in a manger. Few wise men come to get little gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. And maybe watching, maybe you're saying, well, what does this have to do with my question that I have in my heart here? Maybe saw a little man, your baby grew up. Maybe saw shepherds come and bow down and worship. Maybe come again, he saw a man come up and in the temple with the Old Testament, among the priests asking questions, answering. Then seen come down the River Jordan to a prophet. That was baptized. Then see the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. See that man go to it. Then see that man go to ministry. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. And watch him. For he noticed that man, because of the burden of his ministry, that man was getting old. That flesh was going down. And he watched and he watched and see all that life go on. See the persecution. See judgment hall. I wondered, what does it mean? What does it hold? What answer does it have for me in my heart here? See him go up to Calvary. See him kneel on a cross. See him bow his head and die. Then maybe hear the words, it is finished. What is finished? Look! And he watched him. See him place them in a tomb. Shut the door. And those huge stone. And it seems as if, I say, that's what I'm wondering about. What happened to me? What happened to a man born of a woman that's full of trouble and has short days? What happened to that person? And he saw something. That tomb opened up. The same one that went in dead came back out alive. Walked with a promise. And went to those who had believed in him and gathered them and give them the same hope that he had. Because I live. You shall live also.
Amen.
When I can see Job raise off his ash heap, I can see Job begin to worship God because he realized that those kingdoms in this body could be cast aside, could be run over.
Amen.
There is an answer. There is a hope beyond the grave. Do I be crippled up? Do I have one hand? Do I can't manage to be blind like Fanny Crosby? Yet, because he lived. Wounded for our transgression, bruised for his own iniquities. Our chastisement of peace was upon him. God has pleased God to smite him to take our place. Consider. When God decided to settle sin question once and for all, when God decided to end the death question for you and for me, and that day ever decreed that we should come there, we could say like Paul. What made Paul stood up and said, death by the string, here is the victory? What made that man consider preparing a chopping block for him? And maybe his mind was on the saints, writing letters to the saints, encouraging them in the Lord. What made people in the dark ages go into arenas and give their lives willingly? What did they see? What hope did they have? What did they take possession? What took possession of them? That this life becomes nothing. What happened? What? Isaiah 53, here's the secret. A long time ago, the price was paid, friends. It struck me one day, there's this young lady, vibrant young lady, I mean in the pink of health, in the bloom of youth, a career before her, died in childhood, it erupted the family. I stood on the outside, and I saw the coffin coming in, and the hearse came in the coffin, and oh, there was a moan and a sighing and a crying. As I stood there watching, it struck me. Why should there be a mourning and a crying? Why should we go back and live on our ship like Job? When 2,000 years ago, the price was paid to take away the sorrow out of them. The price was paid to put joy in our hearts. We rejoice when a child is born, but we don't know what that child can to be. If God don't take a whole little boy, he could be a murderer. If God will take care of a little child and change his life, he could be such a detriment to society because of much pain and hardship for people. Amen. A few people will never be want to be associated. When they think of him, they think he shouldn't even be born because of the wretched life he lived. Yet we rejoice when he would have been. And yet when somebody died, the most glorious thing happened if that accepted Christ and accepted provision made, because a pardon is not a pardon unless it is accepted. If you do me something, and I come to and you come to and I come and you come to me, I say, will you forgive me? And I say, no way. I'm not forgiving you. Then I'll always hold that against you. If Jesus Christ offers you a pardon and you don't accept it, then there's nothing more you could do. And the pardon was, the provision was made to take you out, to give you hope that even though this old creaky body may groan in it, may pain, may give you such pain, you can see your face getting wrinkled. You can see yourself getting weaker. Yet you know that is just a sign, if you are in Christ, that there's a more glorious hope awaiting. Why? Because even natural laws of life tell you, if you want success, you gotta work hard. Now, what work would you do to merit you eternal life? Some people think, well, look, all I have to do is to be good. Live a good life, be poor, help my neighbors, be very good in society, get involved in some Lions Club or something. And then, my good works will merit me of the favor before God. If that was so, Christ didn't have to die. How could you do good with your born in sin, shaken in being, and coming with speaking lies? Take a little child and don't teach it right or wrong. You'll find that a lie, you'll find that a cheat when conditions confront it. It's all self-protective. Why is that so? Because in each and every one of us is a law of sin. We're born to die, but God never forgot us. God never forgot us. He came and paid the price for death itself. He tasted death and conquered death. And then he says, lo, I'll be with you and even in you. Not just with, but in. And not just for a short period of time, but even unto the end of the age, unto the end of all things, I'll still be in you. Then if he who conquered death, who death had no hold over, is in you, could you die? Then don't you think it's insanity for a man to reject that kind of a salvation? When death is the thing that conquered every man,
hallelujah.
You name the greatest manifest of the earth apart from Jesus Christ. That walked and death didn't conquer. If there was not some divine intervention in their life. Presidents died. Kings, great men died. And sometimes the way they die too seems so disgraceful. But what? If a man died, shall he live again? Is there hope? Shall we see Andrew again? Will he be crippled? Will he have a different life in life that he went to the grave with? No, friends. Because Jesus Christ lives, he lives.
Amen.
How you know? How you so sure? Because he accepted the pardon. And not only that, but then out from him, a little portion of him, he lived so gracefully that in living he reflected the contentment that of God. In other words, then, if God was ever going to be a person crippled in a wheelchair, testimony that I've been too far for what was lived out there. In every condition that God permits a man to be in, if that person is a Christian, a believer, influenced and dominated by the very life and purpose of Almighty God, then that person will be the reflection of God if God himself was in that kind of a condition. This afternoon, there's not one thing any one of you could do for him. All of you are probably come and watch it. Maybe touch it. This afternoon, what means the most important thing to him right now is his religion. What he believed. What he held. Is it able to bring it out? Consider your ways now. What you believe. Is it able also to bring you out? You know what is his hope? Because he was one way, then when he met Christ, he was another way. Christ changed him, changed his thoughts, changed his concepts, changed his life. That the life he lived was no longer like in the order, in the fashion of the life he lived, in the way he lived before he met Christ. A new life lived. If you coming before God. Let me tell you something. In the beginning, before there was a star, before the dust, before anything, what was there? God. Which was the only life there ever was? God. Then any life coming after that life, if it is of the same character, if it is of the same personality, there is something. And something different is a perversion of the original, because he was the original. There's none like him. He was there first. And he is the one that reproduces them to make sons and daughters, to put his spirit in them. That it'll be a chip of the old block. It'll be just like their father. Then when we come to him, what are you going to present? The only thing he's looking for is to see if you have within you the very life that he poured out on Calvary. That same life that came back upon the believer. That when the apostles then began to walk in that day, they took note. An unlearned man like Peter, who didn't know was ignorant and vile, and red shirt. I saw maybe saw a dope kid, rough neck. Yet they took note that this, what I seen here now, was not like what I saw before. They said that they took note that they had been with Jesus. Why they took note to Jesus? Because Jesus' life was coming forth from him. Something happened. He experienced something. A change took place. And they call him Christian. Christians, they call him. In other words, Christ-like. Having Christ-like. And if that was the Christian back there, then that will be the Christian up here also. That will be believer up here also. Then you compare yourself. If you're ever going to find out you're already a Christian, compare yourself to Christ-like. Christian, Christ-like. The works that I do shall be the works. Conquer, you shall also conquer. Friends, time is so fast, especially in your life going so fast. But let me tell you something. Weep not for Andrew. His path has been made clear. What about you now? At this point in time here, does a person, the life of this family here, a good friend, companion, a pastor to them, who assisted them in coming to a better knowledge and revelation of Jesus Christ, none other than our precious brother Joe Muhammad, in the back there, servant of Almighty God. I want to give Brother Joe a chance to come forward at this point in time. I believe he's acquainted with his family because he passed to them. He must have many talks with this young man. Brother and sister America, I've them many times for counsel. I want Brother Joe to come and offer a word of prayer on behalf of the family. I just reiterate to those in the session here to go down to the Faizabad Cemetery. Come, Brother Joe. Just to remember the family, lift up the family for Almighty God. As one who was acquainted with him. Could we just bow our heads? Close our eyes.
Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your amazing grace that means so much to us. Lord, we come this evening as we are gathered together, Lord, to pay our final respects to the remains of our brother Andrew. Lord, something in our heart knows that he's alive in another house somewhere. Lord, your words, as your servant read last night, Apostle Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And you have given words to comfort your believers in hours like these. And your great mighty promise, you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what situation or condition may confront us, Lord. And even at this time, our brother Harry and his wife and the rest of his family, maybe the other friends and neighbors around, Father, we bring them before you this evening, knowing that they have trusted you and believed your promise in this hour, and that it has taken hold of their life, and they have nurtured Brother Andrew, that when it comes to this point in his life, Lord, we see your promise still hold. Lord, what you did for them in their life, it is still valid. It is still in effect, Lord. For you come to do things that has eternal values and change, that death does not put a stop to it. And Father, we pray this evening as together for the family, asking your great Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, Lord, to just spread over that great power of comfort in their hearts and in their life. Lord, that knowing one of these days, very soon we're going to see Andrew again. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help them and strengthen them, Lord. And we ask, oh God, for your guidance now as we go to the cemetery, Father. We pray you'll hold the weather, and we pray, oh God, that you will take control of every situation now. Lord, as we pray your blessing upon them, knowing, oh God, you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we are thankful that we know you in the power of your resurrection. The joy that you could give in this time, Lord. Oh God, we commit everything into your hands now, knowing that you hold everything in this situation. Father, we commit it in the name of Jesus Christ. For your honor and your glory we ask. Amen.
I want to apologize just for taking so long. I didn't realize the time slipped so quickly. But we like to go down to the cemetery. Just continue to, and let's keep a nice atmosphere. And all we go down there, sing, we're going to worship, we're going to glorify God. For that says, Jesus Christ took the sorrow, broke up death, and put the joy into it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. God bless you all richly. You're dismissed. Well, let's say a word of prayer for this. Sorry. Let me say a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you just open the way down. Take us down safe into your presence, Father. Just praying that you just have your way in the cemetery, Lord. Even honoring our brother prayer that you go back to where, Father. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Dismissed. Eyes about cemetery.